Today we're going to learn Bechorot Daf Vav. We're going to start at the top, at the third line, Parach Rav Achai. Before we start with the question of Rav Achai, we're going to just review what we saw yesterday. Was that Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he organized a bunch of the Pesukim. In Pesuk, in Bamidbar Yud Chet, it talks about Bechor Behemat Me'ah, and remember, we compared the Bechor Adam, et Padotifdeh, et Bechor Adam, ve et Bechor Behemat Me'ah Tifdeh, which said it as a general statement about Bechor Behemat Me'ah without specifying a donkey, from which Rabbi Yossi Aglili said if you just had that pasuk, you would have thought even other types of animals like horses and camels would need pidyon. Then he says, well, the fact that in Shmot Yugimel, it says that you have to do redeem the Petar Chamor, that teaches you. That's Petar Chamor Tifde Beseh needs to be redeemed with a Seh, with a lamb. That teaches you that Susim and Gamalim, right, other non-kosher animals, don't need Pidyon Beseh, but you might have still thought that they need to be redeemed with just any animal. Comes the third mention of it, which is in Shmot Lamed Dalet, where it says Petar Chamor again Tifde Beseh, which teaches you that Susim and Gmalim don't need redemption at all. Okay, now comes Rav Chai, and he disagrees with this whole drasha, and he says like this, I katav Rachman Achad, if it had only said Petar Chamor in one place, which again, Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, that comes to teach you that Susim and Gmalim aren't redeemed with a Seh, but maybe they're redeemed with other animals. He comes and says, no. Hava Amina, if you just had that one mention, what would we have thought? Davar shaya bichlal v'yatsa menachlal lelamed, lo lelamed al atzmo yatsa, ela lelamed al haklal kulo yatsa. Ula olam biseh. So what does he say? If we only have one pasuk, what would you have said? Well, we have, and even one mention of Petar Chamor Tifde biseh, still we have two pasukim. We have Bechor Behemat Me'ah, which is a klal, and now we have a prat, a specification, which says that it's only Petar Chamor, right? That says Petar Chamor specifically needs to be Nifdeh Beseh. So what would we have thought? We wouldn't have thought, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, which is that only Petar Chamor needs redemption Beseh, but everything else needs regular redemption with any kind of animal. He says, no. We would dafka think the opposite. If you have something that was part of the klal and then yetza min haklal, meaning the Petar Chamor was part of Behemat Me'ah, but then it became specified, it's not coming, lo lelamed al atzmo yetza, it's not coming like you said, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, to say specifically only, this is nifdeh beseh, ela lelamed al haklal kulo yetza, it's coming to teach you about all animals in general. Ula olam beseh, and what does that mean? Any Behemat Me'ah needs to be redeemed beseh. Therefore, if that's your assumption from the first Petar Chamor, comes the second one, Katav Rachmana Petar Chamor Achrina, to teach you Patre Chamorim velo Patre Susim Ugmalim. Ve'ema ma'atinu miseh, ula olam bechol davar. So the second reference then would come to teach you what? That this is only true, not like you would have thought, that it teaches about all of them, that they're all nifdeh beseh. No, it teaches you only the chamor is nifdeh beseh, but not susim and gamalim, not horses and camels. And then, what are we excluding them from? We're excluding them, ema ma'atinu miseh, from the lamb. But lo olam bechol davar, but really they need redemption with anything. Which is, right, so what comes out is that Rabbi Yossi Aglili says we learn from the first one. According to him, we can learn from the second one. And therefore, the premise of Rav Achai is wrong. In which case, we're stuck with that at the end of Rav Achai, we end up with that maybe other animals would need redemption with anything, right? Just doesn't have to be with a seh. In which case, we can't prove what Rabbi Yossi Aglili was trying to prove. And it's even Rav Achai agrees that there is no redemption for other non-kosher animals. It's just that he says you can't learn it from where Rabbi Yossi Aglili learns it from. So now they say like this, Im ken, if what you're saying is true, Rav Achai, lichtav Rachmana, Petar Chamor Tifdeh Beseh, v'chamor Tifdeh Beseh, then the second reference of Petar Chamor Tifdeh Beseh could have just written as Chamor Tifdeh Beseh without the word Petar. But Petar Chamor Tifdeh Beseh, Petar Chamor Tifdeh Beseh, Bechamor Tifdeh Beseh, Petar Chamor Tifdeh Beseh, Petar Chamor Tifdeh Beseh, Lamali. So now they're saying the fact that it says Petar Chamor Tifdeh Beseh, Petar Chamor Tifdeh Beseh, why do you need both those references? That's to teach you. In other words, he's saying, you're right. If what you said is true, it could have just said chamor. But since it says peter chamor in the second reference also, it's to teach you chamorim amarti lecha, pitrei chamorim amarti lecha, velo pitrei susim ugbalim. And that's why. Okay, so they reject Rav Achai's reasoning, dafka because the word peter rechem, peter chamor is mentioned in the second verse. Now, this seems a little strange because if it's talking about the firstborn, it would have to say peter. But you have to look in the context there in Shmot Lamed Aleph, Sukim Yud Tet Takaf, and when you read them, you'll see why it's obvious that you really don't need peter. So I'm going to read them and then we'll see. So it starts with Kol Peter Rechem Li. All first, right, the firstborns are belong to me. The Chomik Necha Tizachar. Peter Shor Veseh. That's the end of Yud Tet. Starts Pasukaf U Peter Chamor Tifteh Veseh. Now, really, it could have said V'chamor tifteh b'seh, because it already said ko peter rechem li. And then it says, right, and b'chol miknecha tizachar, which we're going to understand means, and all animals need, right, have a b'chor that needs to come to me, the firstborn of the males. Peter shor v'seh, and then it says, and the first of the shor v'seh, and then it should just say v'chamor tifteh b'seh. It didn't need to say peter again. So from that extra peter, we learn that it's dafka only a peter chamor, and there's no need for redemption at all with the others. Now we have to go all the way back to the Tana of our Mishnah. Because how did we get to Rabbi Yossi Aglili? We said that he disagreed with the Tana of our Mishnah because the Tana of our Mishnah darshaned peter peter to teach you the double reference of peter peter wasn't to teach you this whole halacha that we're talking about and the way Rabbi Yossi Aglili darshaned it. To get to the fact that susim and gmalim don't need pidyon at all. He used it to teach you that if the animal has to be nidme, it has to look like its mother, right? And that if you have a chamor that gives birth to a sus, it's going to be patur from pidyon. So, tana didan lemi'uti susim and gmalim menale. So where is he going to exclude the susim and the gmalim since he doesn't have peter peter free to do that? Amar papa. Ah, so he's going to use now Komik nechati zachar. He's going to use earlier in that pasuk in Shmot Lamed Aleph, pasuk yutet. It says v'chomik nechati zachar klal. That's general. All your mikne. That's a generalization. Shor v'seh v'chamor prat. Then it starts saying shor seh and chamor. Now we get into details. Well, when you have a klal uprat, what's the law? Klal uprat ein bichlal elamasha beprat. This is one of the yugim umidot that we use to darshan the Torah. What do we say when you have a generalization and then a specification? Ein bechlal alamasha beprat. We only go by the specification. So what do we learn from there? Shor v'set v'chamor in. It's only a shor set and chamor. But midiachrina, lo. But if it's some other type of animal, then we don't have the laws of bechor. Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So now we're going to have to say, right, we're doing this ping pong back and forth. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, why doesn't he use that drasha? Why does he have to use the peter chamor twice? Why doesn't he just say it's a klal uprat from the psukim in Shmot Lamed Daled? So he says, peter ifsika inyan, because it says there's a break in the pasuk, and not only is there a break in the pasuk, but it says peter shor v'seh, and then it says upeter chamor tifteh b'seh, which means that the word peter is separating the chamor from previously, which means that if we're going to do the klal uprat, it's only going to be for the shor v'seh. It's not going to be on the chamor, in which case it can't teach us anything about susim and gemalim. So now we're going to have to understand why does Rabbanan think that you can use the klal uprat and that the peter isn't ifsikainyan. So Rabbanan, vav hadar arve, kra. He says the vav connects that pasuk back to the previous one. In other words, it's true, peter separates it, but the vav comes and brings it together. Well, ping pong back to Rabbi Yossi. What does he say? Rabbi Yossi Aglili says very simply, I disagree with you about that vav, that it's connecting it, because if really the pasuk wanted to connect these two, what would it have done? Lo lichtov lo vav velo peter. Get rid of the vav and get rid of the peter, and they will already be connected. Ko peter rechem li v'chomek nechati zachar, peter shor v'seh, v'chamor tifteh b'seh, and then it would have all been connected. You wouldn't even need the vav. You could just say, chamor tifteh b'seh, and then it would be connected with the previous pasuk. V'rabanan, what are they going to say to this? Aide de hakdushat amim, v'hakdushat aguf, pasuk lehu vada arev lehu. Now, even if the pasuk wanted them to be connected for this klal uprat, still it would need to separate them because there are two different types of kedusha. One is Kedushat Amim, which is the Peter Chamor Tifteh B'Seh, is a law where the Peter Chamor is only sanctified in its value. Its value is sanctified, but the actual animal isn't sanctified itself. But when it comes to a Bechor of a Behema Tehorah, of a kosher animal, then it has Kedushat Aguf. Actually, the body of the animal is sanctified. Ibai Elihu. Gemara now asks a question. Parash yalda min chamor. Okay, if you go back to the Mishnah, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, parash yalda min chamor, v'chamor sheyalda kemin sus, p'tura min ha-bechora. Okay, that's exempt. If a para gives birth to something that looks like a donkey, or a donkey gives birth to something that looks like a horse, it's p'tura min ha-bechora. Then if you remember, the Gemara quoted a Mishnah further on in the Masechet that says, a rachel sheyalda min ez, ve'ez sheyalda min rachel, p'tura min ha-bechora. But if it looks a little bit like its mother, then it's actually chayav. So comes the Gemara now and asks the question. What about para that yalda min chamor v'yesh bo miksat simanim mahu? Now notice the Mishnah just talked about a para sheyalda min chamor, but didn't talk about the miksat simanim. Whereas by the Ez and Rachel it mentioned it. So the Gemara now wants to know. Ez sheyalda min rachel v'rachel sheyalda min ez. Right, in that case, we already learned from that other Mishnah that you'll be chayavet bebechora. Deha tahora, veha tahora, hakdushat aguf, veha kdushat aguf. Do we say that the reason why, if it has miksat simanim, it's actually chayavet bebechora? Because both a rachel and an ez are, number one, they're both kosher animals, and number two, because they're kosher animals, they're both sanctified bikdushat aguf. The body itself is, right, the animal itself is sanctified. But hacha, but in the case of a para sheyalda min chamor, tahat meha v'hat tahora, hakdushat aguf v'hakdushat tamim. So maybe you would say, lo, maybe this law wouldn't apply to these, and we wouldn't say that if it's b'yesh bo miktsat simanim, it would be chayav b'chora, because these two things are not at all the same. They're not the same in terms of kashrus, and they're not the same in terms of whether they have kedushat damim or kedushat aguf, right? Are they inherently sanctified, or is just the value of them sanctified? So because a chamor is only kedushat damim, and the para is kedushat aguf, and the para is kosher, and the chamor is not kosher, maybe it's not the same. O dilma, kevan de'idi ve'idi b'nei mikdash b'bechora, Kadosh. Or maybe you would say no. Both a chamor and a para are similar in the sense that the din of Bechor applies to them, and therefore it is sanctified. That's question number one. Basic question is, a para sheyalda min chamor, and it looks a little like a para, even though it looks like a chamor, but there's a certain similarity to what the para. Would we say that this is sanctified? Ve'im timtza lomer, and if you want to say, kevan de'ividi mikdash be'bechora kadosh, and if you want to say, yeah, let's answer it that since they're both can become Bechor, they are sanctified. What about the following case? Chamor she'alda min sus mahu. What if a chamor gives birth to a sus? And again, the sus looks a little bit like a chamor. Would you say it has a din of peter chamor? Hacha vadai lo bat mikdish b'bechorahu. Do we say a sus can never have a kedushah of a Bechor? And therefore, even if it looks like the a kedushah Bechor, therefore, if it looks like, even if it looks a little like a chamor, we're not going to say it's kedushat bechor. O dilma, kevan de min tmeahu kadosh. Since a sus and a chamor are similar in the sense that they're both non-kosher, maybe it does have sanctity to it. Maybe we would say it's kedushat bechor, again, since it a little bit resembles the chamor, and a sus and a chamor are not so far off from each other because they're both non-kosher, maybe it would work. Third question, im timtza lomer kevan de min tmeahu kadosh. If you want to say, since these both are tmeim, maybe that would be sanctified. What about the following case? Para sheyalda min sus mahu. Hacha vadai ha-tora v'ha-tmea ha-bat mikdash b'bechora v'ha-lo-bat mikdash b'bechora. Do we say, clearly, this has nothing to do with that because both are different types, not kosher, kosher, and one could be, has din of b'chor and the other one doesn't, and therefore, obviously, it's not going to be sanctified. O dilma simanim miltahi. Or do we say, the fact that it resembles a little bit of para, that's enough to say it has a din of bechor. So let's try to find an answer. Tashma, we'll learn from the following braita. Behemat tahora sheyalda min behemat me'a, פטורה מן הבכורה. Okay, בהמה טהורה, that's our case of the last case, the פרה שילדה מן בהמה טמאה, ילדה סוס, it's פטורה מן הבכורה. אם יש בה מקצת סימנים, חייבת בבכורה. And yet, if it has מקצת סימנים, חייבת בכורה. So can't we assume what's a בהמה טהורה שילדה מן בהמה טמאה? מה אליו אפילו פרה שילדה מן סוס? Couldn't it be that last extreme case? לא, in which case we'd have our answer. No, in fact, you could say para shelda min chamor. Maybe it would only be a para that gave birth to a chamor because a chamor is bichlal the dinim of bechora. And that's why. Which means that according to the source, we can prove para shelda min chamor and yesh bo miksat simanim, you would be chayav in bechor, but you can't learn to the to a sus, para shelda sus. So let's keep trying. Tashma. פרה שילדה מן חמור וחמור שילדה מן סוס, פטורה מן הבכורה. אם יש בה מקצת סימנים, חייבת בבכורה. So what does this say? It gives two cases. פרה that gives birth to a חמור, which we already know. יש בה מקצת סימנים וחייבת. But it also says a חמור שילדה מן סוס. So that would answer our question about the חמור and the סוס. It says פטורה מן הבכורה, but if יש בה מקצת סימנים, חייבת בבכורה. The first assumption of the Gemara is that last line, אם יש בה מקצת סימנים, חייבת בבכורה, applies to both lines. מה אליו אטרוויו? In which case, we'd have an answer to, again, we'd have now additional answer to the question of חמור שילדה מן סוס. So the Gemara answers, לא, you could just say that it's הפרה שילדה מן חמור, that it's only referring to the case of הפרה שילדה מן חמור, but not to the case of פרה שילדה מן סוס. החמור שילדה מן סוס. So first they say, right, and therefore they say, אבל חמור שילדה מן סוס, למי קטן אלה. But now, if you want to say that that's the case, and חמור שילדה מן סוס, that last line isn't referring to that case. You could ask a question. It doesn't make any sense to say that, because what? למי קטן אלה. What's the point then of saying חמור שילדה מן סוס? לפטורה. You want to say, again, what does it say in the Braita? A para that gives birth to a chamor, or a chamor that gives birth to a sus, is exempt from bechora. But if the only purpose of bringing chamor shel adam in sus is that it's exempt from bechora, you wouldn't need to bring that. Why? Pshita. Hashta uma para shel adam in chamor. De'idi ve'idi b'nei mikdash bebechora ninu. If you give the case of a para that gives birth to a chamor, where both of them are have a din of bechor, and yet we say amartem yesh bo miktzat simanim in vi lo lo. You say only if it has miktzat simanim it would have a din of a bechor, but if not, it's patur from a bechor. Chamor shelda min sus mebaya. Would you need to say that a chamor that gives birth to a sus also is patur from bechor? It would be totally obvious. So what does the Gemara say? No, it's not in fact totally obvious because it's drich salkadatach hatam hu diyesh la karnaim v'ha en la karnaim. You might say a para has karnayim and a chamor doesn't have karnayim. Ha parsotea stukot, a para has split hooves, v'ha parsotea klutot, but the donkey doesn't have split hooves. And therefore, maybe that's why a para that gives birth to a chamor, the chamor is so different from the para, that unless it resembles the para, it's not going to have a din of bechor. Aval hacha, but in a case of a chamor that gives birth to a sus, de'idi v'idi ein la karnayim, both don't have horns, v'idi v'idi parsotea klutot, they both have the same type of hooves. Ema, chamor adon ba'almahu. Maybe you would say that the sus that the chamor gave birth to is really just a brown, even though they say red, really they mean it's brown. Eve is just a brown donkey, basically. Kamashmanan, you might have thought that we would just treat this horse as if, since it was born to a donkey, maybe really it's just a kind of donkey. Think about it, a horse and a donkey don't look so far off. And maybe you could say, because of that, you would have thought that it would be chayiv and bechor. Comes to teach you your patur from bechor, in which case it's a chiddush, even if you say that last line, imyesh bo miktzat simanim chayiv bechorah, doesn't apply to that, and it only applies to the parah case, still there would be a point in the braita to teach the chamor sheyelda min sus, p'tura min habechorah. In which case, we don't end up with an answer to that question. Okay, and in the end, we really only answer that one question about a para shelda min sus, I'm sorry, a para shelda min chamor, we'd say, im yesh bo miktzat simanim, it would be chayevet bebechora. Okay, but we don't answer the other questions. Umahem ba'achila. What did the Mishnah say, right? What's the story with achila? Right, we say, so now, now we want to, let me just go back to the Mishnah. It'll be helpful if we read the words in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Umayim ba'achila, be'emat me'a she'alda kemin be'emat me'a, be'emat me'a Torah, that gives a kosher animal, gives birth to a non-kosher animal, mutar ba'achila, you can eat it. T'me'a she'alda kemin be'emat Torah, asur ba'achila. Then the Mishnah explains why. Doesn't really explain why, it just gives you the principle. Shayotzei min ha'tamei tamei, vayotzei min ha'taor taor. Anything that comes from a kosher animal is kosher. Anything that comes from a non-kosher animal is non-kosher. So now the question is, what did you need that line for? Lama le min shayotzei, meaning hayotzei min ha'taor taor, vayotzei min ha'tamei tamei. What simana ba'almahu delo tichlafle lach. The reason they say it is so that you don't confuse it. If you think about it, the beginning line was a little bit confusing. Atorash and aldal etme'ah and etme'ah. It's Torah, it's Tema'ah. You could see that someone could confuse that line. Delo Tema, you might have thought Zil Batre Didei, you might have followed it itself. Vahai Torah Ma'al Yehu, Vahai Tame Ma'al Yehu, right? You might say, oh, it's a Chamor, even it was born to a Para, but now it's a Chamor, or the reverse. Ela Zil Batari Me, therefore they want to teach you it all goes by the mother. Minan, Emily, where do we get this from? Titanu Rabbanan, when it talks about Kashrut of animals, it says, after it says you can eat anything that's malegeram or fris parsa, right, split hooves and choose its cuds. So what do we say? It says then, this you can't eat from those that chew their cuds and those that have split hooves. And then it continues to say, the gamal, because the gamal is malegera, but it's not mafris parsa. So now they say, what are they darshan from this? Because the pshat of the pasuk sounds like this, you can't eat from something that is both ma'ale gera and mafris parsa. The pshat, really, the way we read is that there's those that have either one or the other. But the way it sounds like is this doesn't have, this has both, and yet you still can't eat it. And what would be that case? The eze, ezezeh. What would that be? Exactly our case. A tahor shenola minatame, right? A kosher animal that's born to a non-kosher animal, meaning a chamor, let's say, that gives birth to a para, would be, right, would have simanim, it would be maleg eram mafris parsa, but you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. Oh, eno ela, but now they say maybe you could learn that drasha differently. Maybe it means eno ela tame hanola minatahor. Maybe it would be to teach you dafka the opposite case. There's a non-kosher animal that's born from a kosher animal. If it's not mafris parsa or maleh gera, then why would you say that, right, why would you put it in that category? And the answer is, hachi kamar, this is how you would read it. Davar haba mi maaleh gera mafris parsa lo techol. Right, you might have thought that you wouldn't be allowed to eat something from the maleh gera mafris parsa, that's something that came from it, like a donkey that's born to a paha. Talmud Lamar, Gamal. Therefore, the Pasuk says, Gamal Tamehu, Hu Tameh, Tameh on Olam, Ve'en Tameh on Olam Minatahor, Tameh Ela Tahor. So then the Brayta says, that's why the Pasuk specifically says, the Gamal is Tameh, right? And it says specifically Tamehu, which comes to teach you, right? This, the Dafka, if it's Tameh on Olam Minatahor, it's going to be tahor, okay? And only the gamal is not, but, right, if it was born from a tahor animal, it would actually be kosher. Ela, Rabbi Shimon Omer, now we're going to see a shitav Rabbi Shimon who disagrees, and we're going to see a few shitot today, three shitot of Rabbi Shimon that disagrees with the average opinion, interesting shitot. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gamal, Gamal, Shnei Pa'amim. Okay, where does it say Gamal, Gamal, Shnei Pa'amim? It says it in the Pasuk we were mentioning, which was Vayikra Yud Aleph Pasuk Dalid. And it also says it in Dvarim Yud Dalid Pasuk Zayim. The laws of Kashrut are repeated in Sefer Dvarim. Today we're going to talk a bit about that. Why are they repeated? So right now we're going to say the word Gamal is repeated in each place, right? It's said once there, to teach you Echad Gamal Hanolad Mina, Gamal Hanolad Mina Gamala. It's to include any kind of gamal is not allowed to be eaten, even if it's nolad min hapara. And here we see they disagree. He disagrees with Tanakama's basic opinion, Chachamim's opinion, that a kosher, right, exactly what our Mishnah said against our Mishnah, that if it's born from a tahor, it's going to be kosher. He says no. No matter what, it's not kosher. Rabbanan, now Rabbanan who disagree with him, hi gamal gamal my avdele, what do they do with the repetition? Chal le'esor atzmo, v'chal le'esor chalbo. One is to chalavo. One is to forbid the gamal itself, and one is to forbid the milk that comes from that gamal, which is to teach you that milk from a non-kosher animal is not kosher, right? This becomes relevant if you go to certain countries. The milk comes from non-kosher animals. It's a big issue, right? You're not allowed to eat milk that comes from a non-kosher animal. Rabbi Shimon, now where is Rabbi Shimon? If he doesn't have the gamal gamal to teach about the milk of a gamal, then where's he going to learn that the milk of a gamal is forbidden? Rabbi Shimon, le'esor chalavo minale, nafkale mi et hagamal. Because it says et hagamal, he darshens it from the et. It's not just the gamal, it's also the milk. So now they say, Rabbanan, what do Rabbanan say? Why don't they darshen it from the et? Etim lo darshe, they don't darshen etim. How do we know that there's an issue about this et or not, whether you darshen it? It's a very famous source, very famous braita, Kedetanya. Shimon ha'amsoni haya doresh kol et ve'et shebatorah. He would darshen all the ets in the Torah. Kevan shigia le'et Hashem elokech hatira, perash. He stopped all of a sudden, left and said, oh, this obviously I'm wrong about this, because et Hashem elokech hatira, it can't include anything else. What, other gods you have to fear? It doesn't make any sense. We don't believe in other gods. Amrulo tamidav, Rebbe, kol etin shedarashta mate alehem. So his students were shocked. They said, oh my God, you spent all these years darshaning etin. What about all those rashot? Amar lehem, keshem shechibalt, and here's why it's very famous. Keshem shechibalti sachar la drisha, kach ani makabel sachar la prisha. Just like I got rewarded for darshaning them, I'm also going to get rewarded for learning that I made a mistake and changing my mind, right? Very important line about admitting your mistakes and learning that you learn, right? You gain sachar for even for darshaning incorrectly, and all the more so, I would say, for fixing your mistakes. Ad shebar Rabbi Akiva, but then came Rabbi Akiva v'limed et Hashem elokech hatira lerabot tamidei chachamim. He said, no, you could darshan et Hashem elokech hatira to include tamidei chachamim. Okay, the tamidei chachamim are an extension of Hashem, and therefore you could. Okay, so now we see that Rabbanan don't darshan et based on this braita where Shimon ha'amsoni realized that he made a mistake and stopped darshaning etim, even though Rabbi Akiva stood up, but not everybody agreed with him. Okay, now comes Amrele Rav Acha Berei Derava LeRav Ashi. So now we're going to talk about this chalav, the milk of the camels. Ela me'ata tama derabanan migamal gamal. If you're going to say their logic comes from gamal gamal and Rabbi Shimon mi et gamal, it sounds like, right, that's where they all learn about milk of the gamal being forbidden. Sounds like halav hachi, if you didn't have these psukim, hava mina halav de be'emat me'ah shari, right, you would have thought it was allowed. But ma'ishna me'ah detanya hatme'im, remember this psuk we darshan at the end of Chulin, about it's talking about the shretzim, the creepy crawlers that are forbidden to be eaten. It says hatme'im, which comes, why is the hay yidiyah there? The hay, the definite article, to teach you le'esor tziran v'rotvam v'kipa shalahen. It's to include that not just, and this isn't just for shretzim, it's also for meat, and we're going to see, right, that any liquids that come out of them, or gravy, or the stuff that gets stuck to the sides of the pot, is also forbidden. So therefore, the milk should be forbidden based on that pasuk. So what are the answers? So why do we need these other drashot? They say, itzirich. Why? Salkadat achamina ho il de beema taora nami chidushu. Dam armar, dam neachar v'naasa chalav. Vekevan de chidushu, bebeemat mea nami lishtaru kamashmalan. Okay, I have to explain two things here. I'm going to start with the basic flow and then we'll get to the content. You might have thought that what? That since the beema taora, the fact that we can, okay, now we're going to say, forget about the milk of a non-kosher animal. Even the milk of a kosher animal, you would have thought was forbidden. It's a chidush, that it's mutar. Okay, in a minute we'll talk about why you would think it was forbidden. Since the chidush, that it's mutar, maybe you would think that chidush also applies to non-kosher animals. Maybe since we're
since it shouldn't be true for kosher animals that you can eat it, and it also shouldn't be true for non-kosher animals, because it's like the tzir and the rotev, then what would you assume? Therefore, since we matured it by kosher animals, maybe it's also mutar for non-kosher animals. Therefore, kamashmalan, that's why we need a drasha to teach you that no, in fact, it's not a let. Now, why would you think it's a chidush when it comes to regular animals? Because amar mar, dam ne'echar v'nasa chalav. I'm going back to what I read before. This is about a nursing woman. The Gemara assumes that there's a connection. The fact that nursing women generally don't menstruate, what's the reason? Because dam, we assume that the blood is removed from, kind of turns into milk. And therefore, milk sort of has, it's considered as if it has blood in it. And therefore, you might have thought that by kosher animals, you're not allowed to drink the milk because it actually has blood in it. And blood is forbidden to be eaten, and therefore you couldn't eat it. And therefore, it's a chidush that the Torah allows us to eat the milk of kosher animals. Soon we're going to have to figure out, hold off on that, where we get that milk. And so where did they learn that milk is permitted of kosher animals? Again, this was all to say why we need the psukim if we already know that siran v'rotvan is asur. Then you would have, is forbidden, then it would have been obvious, right, in non-kosher animals, then it would have been obvious that their chalav is also forbidden. And this is why we say, no, since it's a chidush that you can eat it by kosher animals, maybe you would think it's also allowed by non-kosher animals. But this is only hani chalaman damar dam ne'achar v'nasa chalav. Not everybody agrees that this is the case. Ela lamanda amar evarea mitparkime mena, but if you hold that the reason why a woman doesn't menstruate is because her body was weakened from childbirth and her nefesh, which the nefesh they say is the dam, that's what the pasuk says, and her nefesh meaning her blood doesn't flow through her the way it used to until 24 months later, then how can you explain why you would have thought that chalav of a kosher, of a non-kosher animal would have been mutar if not for the pasuk of hagamal hagamal, which forbids it. Salka da tachamina, you might have thought, ho'il v'leka midi da'ate mechai b'shar yirachmana. Generally, what do we say? There's nothing that comes from a live animal that's mutar. Why not? Usually it's either ever menachai, a limb from an animal, which no one can eat, right? Even B'nai Noach can't eat it. Or basar minachai, flesh from a live animal you can't eat. V'hai chalav ki ever minachai hu. And chalav is kind of like ever minachai. It's something that comes from a live animal. And yet, share v'share, and yet it's mutar. So therefore, hilka chafilu be'ema t'me'ah lishtere. Therefore, you might have thought that even from a non-kosher animal, maybe it's mutar. Because even from a kosher animal, it's in essence not kosher. Because it's like ever minachai. Kamashmalan, that's why we need the drasha to tell you that it's asur. Now, like I said, we're going to get back to this. V'chalav de'beima Torah minalan de'shari. How do we know that milk from a kosher animal is actually, in fact, allowed? Ilema, they're going to suggest something and immediately reject it. Mida asur rachmana basur b'chalav. Halachu de'shari. What does it say? Lo tevashel gdi b'chalev imo. Which sounds like, as long as you don't cook it in its mother's milk, right? It sounds like the milk itself would have been permitted if you hadn't cooked it with the gedi. So therefore, you might have thought that, but no. Ema, you could say, chalav lechude asur ba'achila. Chalav by itself would be forbidden ba'achila. What's then lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo adding? Right, that's asur ba'achila, but mutar b'hana'a. The chalav itself is permitted to benefit from. And basar b'chalav b'hana nami asur. Basar b'chalav, though, is adding that not only that it's usher to eat the milk, but if you cook the milk with meat, then it becomes forbidden even to benefit from. Ula Rabbi Shimon, deshare b'hana'a. And if you're Rabbi Shimon, though, who holds, here's shita number two that's unique about Rabbi Shimon, who holds you can actually benefit from basar b'chalav, mishkachala, you could still see a difference, l'milke al bishuleha. Lo tevashel gdi b'chalev imo is adding that it's an isur lo taaseh, you're going to get malkot for it. Yeah, but if you just eat chalav by itself, it's usur, but you don't get malkot for it. Ela, but here's the difference. So you can't learn it from lo tevashel gdi b'chalev imo. So where else could you learn it from? Midigale rachmane de psuleha mukdashim. Okay, these are the psukim we talk about basar tava. If you want to eat meat, not as a sacrifice, right? You can and you're like, if you want to eat meat and you're far from the Beit HaMikdash, so you can eat it, right? You can shech the animal and eat it. But the mefarshim, the rabbis explain that really the context of this is psulei mukdashim. It's talking about something that you designated for a korban, but then it had a mum, so you can redeem it, and then you can use that, you can eat that animal. But what are you allowed to do with that animal once you redeem it? Tizbach, it says in the pasuk, velo giza, basar velo chalav. So what does it say? It says, okay, you have to read the pasuk. It says, the pasuk says, "Rak bechol." It's in Dvarim Yubet pasuk Tevav. Rak bechol levat nafshecha tizbach va'achalta basar. So, what are they darshin? Tizbach means you can sacrifice v'lo giza, but you're not allowed to use it for its wool. Basar v'lo chalav. You can eat the meat of it, but you can't take out the chalav and drink the chalav. So, what does that seem to imply? Only because they're psulei mukdashim. Right, because normally animals you're allowed to use for giza purposes, right? That's how we get clothes. And you're allowed to drink the milk of them, right? Hadachulin share. This implies that if it was chulin, it would be mutar. So maybe you could learn it from there. The ema, no, because still you could say what? Dechulin asur ba'achila v'share ba'hana'a. Dekodshim ba'hana'a nami asur. Maybe it's time to tell you, chulin normally you can't eat the milk, but you can benefit from the milk. But kodshim, you can't even benefit from. So therefore, just like we said that with the Basar B'chalav Pasuk, this would also seem to only imply that maybe there's Isser Hana'ah, but that the milk itself would be forbidden just by eating. Ela midichtiv. So let's bring some other Pasukim. V'dei chalav izim lelachmecha, lelechem beitecha, v'chayim lenarotach. V'chayim lenarotecha. This is a pasuk from Mishlei, and it says you'll have enough, right? You should have enough chalav izim for your bread and for the bread of your house, and to bring life to the women in your, or the na'arot, the young maidens in your house. So what do you see here? That obviously you can eat milk, but they say no, dilma l'schora. Maybe this means that you can sell it to make money off of it, so that your family will have food to eat. Ela midachtiv. So let's try another pasuk. Now we're getting to a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph when Yishai sends David to the battlefield where his brothers are fighting against the Plishtim in Goliath. It says, "Ve'et aseret charitzei chalav." He's go bring them some milk. Again, v'dilma l'schora. No, maybe that just means that they were going to sell it so they'd have money to buy stuff they need. So now they say, obviously, atu darkash al-mulchama l'schora. What, they're in the middle of war? They're going to go be able to sell the milk to get something? It doesn't make any sense. V'ibayit ema, another. So therefore, we do have a proof from that pasuk. V'ibayit ema mehacha, maybe another pasuk. Eretz zavat chalav udvash. V'ilo desharei mishtabach lankra b'midi delochaze. What if you couldn't eat milk? They were going to say, oh, the land is great because it's overflowing with milk. Doesn't make any sense. V'ibayit ema mehacha, maybe from here. L'chu shivru v'ichlu. L'chu shivru below kesef. U'belo mechir yayin v'chalav. It's pasuk in Yeshayahu that's describing a time when you'll be able to have food without paying for it. And what does it mention? Wine and cheese and milk. So one would think then, obviously, there you're getting it for free. Obviously, it's not that you're getting it to be able to sell, but right, to resell. The point is that you can eat it. Okay. Now we're going to say, going back to the gamal that we were talking about, we had this repetition, so now we're finished with this. We've proven why, how we know that chalav of Beimah Tohorah is mutar be'achila, it's permitted to eat. Now we're going back to the fact that we darshan the gamal. The whole thing was based on this drasha of gamal that was mentioned twice, right? We had different drashot of what to learn from there. But they say, alamayata, shafan, or nevet, chazir, of all these other non-kosher animals that are repeated both in Vayikra and Dvarim, and we don't have drashot about them. So what? Lahanehu da'ata? Ela, right, are they coming for this? Ela l'chidetanya. Lama nishnu? But really, there's a braita that explains why these were repeated. Bebehema mipneashesua. There's two ways to read this. Some people say lama nishnu bebehema, but I think it makes more sense to read it like this. What were these repeated for? Bebehema, because of the shesua. Ubaofot mipneara. Each, when it was said in Dvarim, this happens a number of times, when Dvarim repeats a section that happened earlier, often they repeat it because there's an addition that Moshe wants to make. So Moshe wanted to make, add the shesuah for the behemot, and by the ofot, the ra'a type of kosher, of a type of bird. So gamal, gamal, nami lach yudata. If that's the case, then we could say that gamal, gamal really isn't unnecessary. It was just repeated in order for it to add the other extra thing that Moshe wanted to add. So they say no. And right, and then we reject all the drashot that we said on Hagamal Gamal, on the Gamal Gamal. So what are the answer? No. Kol heichad yikal midrash darshinan. This is a very difficult line because after, right, we always say that when we darshan something, it's because it's extra. Here we say, well, even though it's not exactly extra because you can explain it, but when there's room to make a drasha, kind of when we need it for a drasha, we can darshan it. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to get an abraita into this issue of Rachel sheyalda min Eiz ve'Eiz sheyalda min Rachel p'tura min ha-bechora. Okay, like the other Mishnah, Rachel that gives birth to an Eiz or an Eiz that gives birth to a Rachel is exempt from bechora. V'im yesh bo miksat simanim chayevet. But if it looks a little bit like the mother, then it's chayev. Rabbi Shimon, here's shita number 3 of Rabbi Shimon. Ad shehei rosho v'rubo dome li'imo. It's only going to work if it's not just miksat simanim, but it has to have the face and most of it similar to its mother. Ibayalu. So now they ask a question about the shita of Rabbi Shimon. La'achila mi bay Rabbi Shimon rosho v'rubo olo. Do we say that whether it's going to be kosher or not kosher, also you need rosho v'rubo or not? Do we say le'inyan b'chor aktiv, ach b'chor shor, ad sheyeh hu shor u'b'choro shor, aval l'achila gamal hu da'amar rachmana da'asar, ha ishtane migamal shapir dame, odilma loshna. Here's our question. We're going to end with the question. Do we say that since it says gamal in the pasuk, and because it said specifically gamal, that's the case we learned that just a gamal, but anything that's similar to it is not going to be, right? It's not going to be a, gamal. Right, if it looks a little bit like its mother, but miksat simanim, you can eat it, even though rosho rubo. But because of the word gamal by kashrut, we're going to learn, as long as it looks a little bit like a gamal, it's going to be mutar. Or do we say loshna? Or do we say there's no difference? And he will say the same thing applies for bechor as it does for kosher and non-kosher. So we'll have to wait till tomorrow to see what the Gemara answers.